You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for May 19th, 2017. It's not safe for work.
Coming to you live from the former headquarters of the At Least We Don't Have to Worry About Joe Lieberman Anymore Society, it's the Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal.
Hey, Driftglass, how are you?
Hey, Blue Gal, how are you?
I feel like we need to start every show now with, everybody take a deep breath.
No, everyone take a drink.
Everyone take a drink.
And pass that bottle down this way, because holy shit. We have literally waited to the last possible minute before people
we
show
have.
Up.
We have. It's like it's almost 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon.
Because, you know, you never know. And then, of course, it happens.
It happens, yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute.
I wanted to do a couple things to just point out some show notes from last week. We were talking about Kurt Vonnegut and Mark Twain writing the script, which the script of our lives and the script of our political world right now. And if you didn't think that was true last week, you definitely think it's true this week.
Yeah.
We got a note from Robert Chaz Shoot, who is the author that I have mentioned several times on the show before. He writes robot books and zombie books and so forth. And he wrote me and he said, have you read my book Wallflower? And should I send you a copy? And I went, Wallflower, what's that? And he said, it's a time travel book about Kurt Vonnegut and Mark Twain and like, have you read it? And I was like, oh no. And he has sent so many free books to us that I said, no, this time I get to buy it. You cannot send this to me. So I bought it. And it is unlike his other books. His other books, I think, really set a world like the robots and the zombies and so forth. You really get a sense of, the world in which this story happens. This is much more of a conversational allegory kind of book, but it's very entertaining. I enjoyed reading. It's not hard to read. It's a quick read. And I read most of it this week and kind of fun. So if that's your thing, not everyone is into zombie books. Not everyone is into robot books. Not everyone is into historical allegory books. This is a time travel book, and I won't get into who time travels and so forth. But Kurt Vonnegut is a character in the story. Mm-hmm. And it's very clever, as Robert Chaz Shoot is. So I just want to plug that book. It's on Amazon and it's on Kindle and everything, and you can go get it.
Speaking of science fiction.
This
literally just came to me just now. I had to look it up. But that reminds me of a science fiction story.
Ah.
It's called, I looked it up, it's called Who's Cribbing?
Ah.
I might have mentioned it once before years ago. There's an author who is trying to write science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he writes it and sends it into the magazine, they say, that's great, but you really need to check out the works of Todd Thornberry, who wrote this story, 20 years ago. And the guy's like, okay, fine. And he does this over and over again. And the same Todd Thornberry keeps having already written everything he submits. And he can't find anything except these two stories. And then he keeps going and going and going. And he finally figures out Todd Thornberry doesn't write science fiction. Todd Thornberry is a shitty time traveler who is peeking over his shoulder and just ripping him off and then going back and having his shit published. So he decides to write a story about a time traveler who steals the work of his betters from the future and submits it to a magazine. You can guess what the outcome is. A rejection letter from the magazine saying, your theft of Todd Thornberry's story, Who's Cribbing, is really kind of goes over the line. I'm not going to talk about I don't remember exactly what it was.
I don't want you to submit to us anymore. Yeah.
It's a strikingly good idea, but as you know, it was already written by Todd Thornberry. So, yeah, Chaz, sorry, we're looking over your shoulder, man.
And we don't have a Bible bitch this week, but I did come across a quote from Martin Luther, or attributed to Martin Luther anyway. Just because the birds are flying over your head does not mean they get to make a nest in your hair.
Yeah.
And I just loved that coming across that this week, because there are just so many bad stories in the news, not just the Trump-Russia stuff. You know, there was a lot of schadenfreude this week as well.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of us had to avoid grave dancing and so forth, and some of us didn't bother avoiding that at all.
Some of us pawed through our closet to find our tap shoe.
But just before we get to all of that news, I just wanted to say, just take a breath, take a break. It's been an emotional week for me in a lot of ways. We were able to resolve the children's health insurance for another year, but
yes, we
let me tell you, it was rough on me.
That was. We had to have an impromptu family meeting and talk
about why mommy's crying so hard.
Right.
And it wasn't that their insurance was ever at risk. It was just one more time I had to go into battle. And I have PTSD about this, folks. I just do. I have been through this for 9 years. I have been on my own fighting bureaucracy and state government and fighting alongside well-meaning people once I can reach them and once I have the right form, the magic form that gets me to the people that I need to talk to. And I've learned a lot and I've gained a lot of experience and I now have personal phone numbers of people that I can call, which is great.
Yep.
And once you reach a live person within the Department of Human Services, they are amazing in Illinois. They want every child to have health insurance, and they will bend over backwards to help you make sure you have it. But they have rules they have to follow, of course. And I mentioned before, the paperwork went late just because I misread a number on a letter. And it was my fault, but I really blamed myself big time for late paperwork. And we had to have a family meeting where the children, who are now, 14 and up, so reasoning with them is fine.
Yeah.
But I think it still freaks them out to see mom basically in, fetal position, not willing to face one more battle because I'm just exhausted by it. And
explain the difference between don't worry, this woman is the center of your universe.
Okay.
Your universe is not coming to an end.
Yeah.
But this is part of the sort of price of being a grown up.
Yeah, that's true.
And especially a grown up now in this country under these circumstances.
Yep.
And we are so much better girded for that battle than millions of other people.
Well, and that's also something that I'm having to learn not to carry around with me all day, the burdens of the whole universe in terms of health insurance, because I do. I tend to get really wrapped up in people less fortunate than myself in terms of awareness, ability to navigate, education, and from sitting next to me in church, that if there is a hymn or if there is a conversation or if there is anything hinting at a child suffering, I have to get up and leave.
She has to go.
Walk out of my pew, leave my pew, go to the bathroom, splash cold water on my face and breathe because I can't handle it.
Uh-huh.
Just that's me.
Yeah.
So when I think of the 2-page letter I got from our congressman this week telling me that the AHCA is going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome.
And that he totally defends his vote for it.
Yeah, speaking of Martin Luther, that needs to be nailed to his fucking office
door.
With 99 points on it about you're going to be unemployed soon, sir, so you might want to get used to it.
Yep.
I'd also point out, this is a different subject for a much longer podcast, which we will do someday, I promise. But community health care and social service navigator is a real job.
We've actually done a couple shows with that as a topic. Yeah.
But it's an actual thing that we could be providing in our communities right now if we just had a little bit of dough. I don't mean you and me, but
I'd be damn good at it.
It would
give me a mental breakdown, but I'd be damn good at it. Yeah.
But the point being that there are places where you can add a little bit of effort and a little bit of money and make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in and around government for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And just the gap between the people inside the system who have built their machine or built their system or built their program and the people outside the system who don't know about it.
Right.
Is huge. It's just, you have to take that last step and market what you do to them. You have to
I think that's the thing. There are nonprofits that do that. The Urban League in Springfield does that. But they are operating on a shoestring budget. They don't have money after they do everything that they do to put it on a billboard and say, you get to do this. You know, come here, come to us. We'll help you, because they are stretched to the limit. And that reminds me, before we're going to get into Trump Russia. I know
we
all want to hear about Trump Russia.
Yeah, we're winding up
I did want to, healthcare is really still going to be there after Trump, and the terrible Republican policies that they are trying to put through are still going to be on our plates and in our minds and in our hearts when we go to the polls in 2018. And the polls that have come out this week aren't about Trump Russia. They're about people freaking out over losing their health insurance, and that's what's going to win elections for us.
Yes.
And we really have to continue to stress over and over again, and we'll get into this in kind of a lightning round, Republican policies are terrible for human beings. They just are.
They are.
If you're not Steve Mnuchin, if you're not a millionaire or a billionaire,
you're screwed.
You're screwed by these policies.
And they're not. And behind the scenes, they're still working on this shit. They haven't given
constantly.
Up at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but I wanted to tell that story of the kid who with Junior Dude, one of Junior Dude's compadres, had a health issue while he was at our house.
Yep.
It was just a minor allergic reaction to something he ate, no big deal.
Right.
But his mom wanted to take him to the ER because she wanted to make sure he was really okay.
Absolutely.
And I said to her, you don't have to take him to the ER. You, like a Republican would tell you, is always available to you as free health care, which is a
there.
Lie. You know, we have a universal health care. It's called the emergency room. No, it isn't. They send you a $2,000 bill for showing up there. But she said, I'm going to take him to the ER. And I said, no, you can take him literally down the street to the urgent care doc in the box. You know, that's what we call them. But it's right there across from the grocery store. There's now one in the grocery store that you go to every day.
Yep.
And this is because of Obamacare. These are urgent care centers, you know, with one doctor. They're open when the store's open. It's convenient.
Right.
And most things that a kid gets into, they can handle. What this kid needed was to have his tongue looked at.
Right.
Have a 3-minute conversation to make sure he was, you know, he's able to have a conversation. So it's not life-threatening. He can breathe, you know, he can breathe, he's functioning, everything's really okay.
Right.
And then give him some Benadryl, and that's it, and he's done. You know, tell his mom to have a liquid Benadryl on her, or have something on her so that an EpiPen or something, if he has this allergic reaction, he knows what he's allergic to, he ate it anyway, it was an accident, and you're done. I mean, this really was a less than 10-minute appointment.
Right.
But when I said that to her, mom to mom, no, you don't have to take him to ER. You can take him literally a few blocks from here and get care. Her first words to me were, do they take Medicaid?
Yeah.
Do they take the insurance? She called it the medical card, because she knew that I knew. You know, there's no question that kids in Illinois, and I'm sure this around the country as well, are covered. And one of the reasons kids in Illinois, like I said, the reason kids in Illinois can assume they're on that is because the state of Illinois, under Democratic leadership, has made sure every damn kid is covered.
Pat Quinn.
Pat Quinn made sure. No, you can get this. If you're an average citizen, unless you're really wealthy, your kids are covered, because that is the economically reasonable, intelligent thing to do.
And because that's what civilization looks
exactly. like. Exactly. Just like elderly people in nursing homes, these cuts to Medicaid are going to decimate nursing homes. Nobody thinks about that, but it's true. All right, so the first word out of her mouth was, do they take the medical card?
Right.
And I said, yes. And, this is now mom-to-mom networking. This isn't advertised. The urgent care people don't have a sign up that says Medicaid clinic, because God forbid they would be swamped with people who, you know, they don't have time to care for. They really they don't get the word out about that. And it's sad they don't. You have to know that. But I said, yes, they take the medical card. You can take him there. And boy, that changed her life to know that she can take her kid to urgent care. And she doesn't have to take them to an ER when there's some sort of situation. But
this
the
is
assumption
not...
is, excuse me, I'm sorry. The assumption from her is, and the assumption that breaks my heart every day, is that there is a multi-tiered access to care in this country. That you don't get to go to the nice place down the street across from the grocery store because you're on Medicaid. You don't have access to that.
No.
When actually, yeah, and it was paid for by Obamacare. That's why it's open. That's why these places have employees. They're saying now that 56,000 hospitals will lose budget numbers from...
Yeah.
There's some sort of crazy thing of how many employees... Oh, no, excuse me. It's 56,000 employees in Illinois. 56,000 jobs in Illinois created by Obamacare increasing access to care. And it's...
Yeah.
It's everything from phlebotomists who draw blood,
yep,
you know, and do that sort of technical but not full MD work,
yeah,
to just ladies, white ladies often, who are answering the phone,
right,
you know, and have a job. And I say white ladies just because so much of what goes on with big government and government employees is actually racism. And, you know, that... And we know this, that the claim is that those government jobs go to non-white people. Yeah, those people. And those people in Chicago. And you, all you have to say is Chicago, and that means gang violence and black people getting our stuff. And that's how it's talked about downstate.
So take 56,000 middle-class jobs.
Middle-class jobs.
Out
yeah.
of the economy. Then take out all the hundreds of thousands of people who are not calling in sick to work. Who are
right,
not
right.
losing their job because they have access to health care.
All of the vets and Republicans who walk into Walmart every day and aren't walking around merchandise that has been touched by kids who haven't had their shots
right.
or have a cough or have whatever, untreated disease. And you're talking about improving the quality of life for every single person.
Now,
and that's what the Democratic Party has to stand for.
And let me just say, this seems like a very good transition, because we're not going to talk about the six basic stories this week.
No.
But we're going to talk about one thing to listen for, one mm-hmm. thing we want you to keep top of mind, as they say, as we run down the list of the week's events and how we're doing and how you're doing and so on and so
mm-hmm.
forth. Nothing that we are talking about this week, or any week, really, almost any week, including this sort of riffing on healthcare and the costs and benefits and the civilization value of
the personal story.
Sure, have a healthy society, a healthy,
right.
well-educated society.
Right.
None of that exists in Fox World. None of it. Nothing that you know about or care about. None of the stories you follow. None of the scandals that you see. None of the tragedies that you hear about exist at all in Fox World. They don't talk about this shit. They don't cover this shit. They are busy, and I mean this literally, letting Ted Nugent ramble on mm-hmm. about the American crisis and the fact that he's a fucking patriot, whining about the fact that Barack Obama was never held accountable. The press never did anything. There were no hearings. There was no nothing. There was no special counselor, nothing. Barack Obama got away with murder. Murder, I tell you. And then, of course, a literal murder story where they defile the grave mm-hmm. of a DNC staffer who was killed during what appears to be a botched robbery in order to cook up a fake story about Hillary Clinton and WikiLeaks, because everybody knows the Clintons are murderers. And they keep repeating the fucking story long after it has been thoroughly debunked.
Mm-hmm.
That is what your crazy Uncle Liberty listens to every fucking day.
While at the same time, Hannity is begging people to leave poor Roger Ailes' family alone in their time of grief.
Leave them alone.
Roger Ailes' family hasn't asked me to back off on Roger Ailes,
yeah.
but that rich young man, that Mr. Rich's family, has specifically asked Sean Hannity to back off.
Yes, Seth Rich,
on their grief.
The family
Seth
of
Rich's
the
family
DNC
has
staffer who was killed
has specifically asked Sean Hannity publicly to stop it, and he doesn't.
Right.
So
this is the same. These are the same people like Ann Coulter. Who were screaming about 9/11 families playing the victim card.
Oh, yeah.
They are inhuman.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of money in telling Crazy Uncle Liberty the lies Crazy Uncle Liberty wants to hear, which is why every story you hear about, golly, why is this happening? What's going on here? Why are these people? It's so obvious. There's a simple and clear answer to that question, and the most direct way to that answer is put a fucking liberal on television
mm-hmm.
and they will tell you what the problem is.
Yep.
And we won't swear, I swear to God. But it's an answer that nobody who works in the media, with a few exceptions, wants to hear because it's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking
mm-hmm.
of which.
Well, and this is the claim. This is the problem. It is Roger Ailes' fault.
Yes.
This the reason we are not having these conversations, the reason you and I can have a podcast that says things that no one in the media, and now I sound like Steve Doocy. Yeah. No one in the media will tell you this.
Yeah, Steve Doocy, you are the media.
Steve Doocy is lying.
Steve Doocy is demonstrably lying, yeah. And Steve Doocy knows he's lying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you pump him full of truth serum and hook him up, he'll tell you he's lying. They all know they're lying.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of money in telling angry bigots and paranoid lunatics the stuff they want to hear.
That they created. They brainwashed into being this way. And there is, via Christian McCray on Twitter, he printed a Deadspin commenter. And this really is the obituary for Roger Ailes, that the only one we need. I'll read this. It's, like I said, a Deadspin commenter says, "Personally, I'll never forgive him, Roger Ailes, for the effect his network had on my grandparents in the last years of their lives. They were enthralled by Fox News, had it on day and night, whenever they were awake, and it infected them with paranoia, anger, and most of all, fear. Visits were consumed with lectures about the latest conspiracy theory about nefarious plots by the Clintons, Obamas, minorities, poor, or whoever else was allegedly hell-bent on destroying their way of life that day. When my grandfather died, it took hours of searching to find where he'd hidden all his valuables and guns. Obama, you see, was coming to take them at any moment. He lived in a constant state of dread."
Yep.
And that is Roger Ailes' fault.
Yes. And, well, it's Roger Ailes primarily, and Newt Gingrich, and Rush Limbaugh.
And Rush Limbaugh.
And everybody on Hate Radio, and everyone at Regnery Press, and everyone at Threshold Editions, and everyone at Red State, and everyone at Breitbart. Yep. They're all fucking monsters, and they're all in it together. And they all have one goal, which is keep these people dumb enough and angry enough and pointed
afraid
at
enough.
You and me.
And afraid enough, yeah.
To cough up their money and vote the way they're told. That is the only – they've
and
turned
keep watching,
these people –
And keep watching.
Yep. And keep watching. And it all has to go.
Yep.
You know, this is where we start. This isn't it's a conspiracy, I suppose, if it's secret. None of this is secret.
It's not
secret.
You're
doing it right out in the open. It's very clear what's going on. It's been very clear for a long, long time. And that's why we're in the situation we're in. And the converse of that is equally true. There's no way out of this hole without, you know, you can get rid of Donald Trump. You can get rid of Pence. You can, you know, kick Ryan. The birthing room for these monsters is the Republican base. Mm-hmm. Are these crazy, half-crazed, rabid morons who live in every town in America and who between the Hudson River and, you know, Los Angeles, there's nothing to listen to but Fox News and Hate Radio.
Right.
And that's all they get. That's all they feed. They're sitting in a dumpster all day long feeding on trash, and reality is bearing down on them. So the trash has to get more and more toxic and more addictive to keep them locked in place.
And they're very good at it.
They're very good at it.
Yep.
So yeah, Roger Ailes dead 20 years too late.
Yeah. And then to go on and find out, as we knew would happen, you know, they're building the lifeboats,
yes,
right?
Centrism.org
or centrist.org.
Yeah,
what is it?
There's a new centrist.org movement that to go with No Labels, to go with Third Way, to go with every other fucking boutique. If only both sides would stop the extremes and both sides would stop. Because that's what, and they're building a center out of crazy people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is watching this happen is I've said this before, is exactly like in an emotional sense, 2006, 2007, after the Iraq War, after the Bush administration started falling apart. You can see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick Wilson, the horrible, horrible Rick Wilson, who has, of course, a column in the New York Times or Washington Post, wherever he, you know, is allowed to publish these days, because the only people who are allowed to whisper this stuff are conservatives who waited until the 11th hour and the 59th minute till it was way too fucking late. And they're the arsonists who started this fire, who suddenly come to Jesus and start, you know, getting God because he wants Ted Cruz to win.
Yeah.
Not because he loves you, not because he agrees with you, because he wants Trump out of the way so he can get fucking Ted Cruz into office.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
all fucking mm-hmm. monsters.
Mm-hmm.
But what he said was, if you work in the Trump administration, you have to quit now.
Yeah.
Have to quit. And I would extend that to one other group of people. If you work at Fox News, you're a bad person.
Yep.
Okay. A local Fox, I got no problem with that. Local Fox, basically news, weather, and sports, they're relatively harmless. But if you are part of the Fox News hate empire, if you're a cameraman, if you're a grip, if you type in the shit that these people read, If you're sitting in the back monitoring other stories, if you're laying tape,
yeah,
quit. Because if you don't, you are part, you're going, when we start holding Nuremberg trials,
yeah,
we'll get to you.
Yeah, and eventually.
You fucking knew about it.
Yeah.
And they paid me really good and I had to get indemnity. No. Now we've reached that point where if you're on their side, you're a bad person.
Yep.
And you know who's not on their side? A guy named Bob Mueller, apparently.
Apparently not. And yeah. So let's switch gears. We're at the halfway point of our show. We are really going to end in a full hour today.
Sure.
Or less.
I believe it.
I just want to point out to you, in the midst of all this Trump-Russia story, Trump-Russia, Michael Smirkanish this morning just decided to do his anniversary show. This is my anniversary show, so what I really want to do is just let you know how grateful I am for this opportunity to avoid being an extremist on either side of the radio wars, you know, because then,
you know what you heard then? I'm going to try a sound effect. We don't have all the equipment for it, but I'm going to try this. Hear that?
Was that God?
That was Jeff Zucker's dick popping out of his mouth. Yes, Mr. Zucker, whatever you say, Mr. Zucker. Thank you for putting me on TV and letting me be a centrist asshole, Mr. Zucker. Is there anything else you'd like me to suck on your body, Mr. Zucker?
Oh, God.
Just keep those checks coming.
Yeah.
But no, they're building a center out of people like that.
Yeah.
The new center, swear to God, the new center is going to be Charlie Sykes.
Yep.
And Michael Smirkanish. And Rick Wilson and
Tom Friedman
and Friedman, yeah, and Brooks,
Joe Scarborough
Joe fucking Scarborough, and the right is going to be the reasonable right, the principled right is going to be Hugh Hewitt, the left is going to go right back to being straw men who don't exist at all, who just made up in whatever number and whatever attributes are necessary to maintain the illusion that both sides are equally
and that there's a center, yes,
but that's
there's a center that they occupy.
See it happen. Yep. Fucking see it happen. Anyway, Bob Mueller.
Well, I want you to start, if you don't mind, start it with our conversation about Trump-Russia with the breaking news that apparently while the two Russian, the Russian ambassador and the Russian foreign minister were in the Oval Office.
And the Russian
press. And the Russian press at the behest of Vladimir Putin.
Who called his puppet, Donald Trump, and told him to take a meeting with his handlers. In the Oval Office, so they can listen in on tap and photograph everything, and don't tell the U.S. press about it.
Yeah, because
don't let the U.S. press
know
about it.
Yeah,
and he said yes. What have you say, Vladimir?
Apparently, the so-called president told the Russians that he got rid of the nut job Comey, and that this would slow down the investigation.
Now, was this before or after he blabbed a bunch of above top secret information that was not his to talk about?
Stuff that the intelligence community has asked the media not to report on because it's too secret.
Stuff that the government we got it from said, don't tell nobody about this.
Yeah.
But hey, Donald Trump decided.
And we know, here's what we know about it for sure, is that it has something to do with why we don't have laptops on international flights. Is there is some sort of technology now to make exploding laptops or whatever, or to do some damage to an airplane via a laptop. So we know that. When the intelligence community is telling the media to not tell what the president already told our enemy.
And here's what we know. We know that pussy grabbing, spilling top secret, above top secret stuff to your adversaries, bragging about obstruction of justice and calling your FBI guy a nut job is all just locker room talk, Blue Gal. It's just what
guys do. That's right.
You know, when we get around the locker room and we hang our dicks out, this is what we talk about. This is how we behave.
It is locker room talk. And that's why I think what you said earlier today about you wouldn't be surprised if Trump resigned today.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. It's not going to happen, but it wouldn't surprise me.
I don't think it's going to happen for two reasons. One is he doesn't think he did anything wrong.
No.
And it is just locker room talk, and why shouldn't I? I'm president. Why shouldn't I?
Well, now it's lock him up talk. So
he's too stupid to know that. I really think he does not know what obstruction of justice is. He doesn't know what a national security advisor is. He hears advisor and national security and thinks, well, I'm going to pick my general, the guy I really like, who I think is a good guy, and doesn't think anything about what, Flynn's other obligations to other countries was, or passing a security test or anything. His family has security clearance. You know, it doesn't matter to him. He is too stupid to know what these jobs are and what they do.
Well, I think,
and the value of them.
I think also there's he's also another person whose brain has been eaten by Fox News.
Yeah. Well, because that is the other thing.
The Fox News has told these idiots for 8 years that Barack Obama's an emperor. He's a king. He gets away with murder. He can do anything he wants. He can lie about his birthplace. He's a tyrant. He's a monster. And you know what? They let him get away with it. So President Stupid has been repeating these lies and amplifying these lies and originating these lies for years. Mm-hmm. So he gets in the White House and he believes all this shit. He believes he's now a fucking emperor. Yeah. I can have people killed. I can say
and
whatever
since,
I
since
want.
Since I'm a white guy who loves America, nobody's going to blame me because I'm actually doing what Steve Doocy wants me to do.
Because the job of being president, the perks of the job of being president are all the horrible things that Steve Doocy told me Barack Obama was doing and Hillary Clinton was doing in the White House. So now I get to do those things, right?
And the other reason that I don't think he'll quit is everything depends on what kind of irons does Jared Kushner have in the fire in terms of money making for the Trump Organization.
Yeah.
So, you know, the emoluments clause, screw that. That's obviously been violated since day one and nobody cares. So as long as that goes on, then he cannot quit.
No, that's their pipeline. That's their money.
Yeah, pipeline to, you know, China relationship. And it's all the business. It's all making money. So, no, I don't think he's going to quit. I think he's going to fight to the end, whatever the end is. Uh-huh. And the end is, to my mind, my prediction is, and I don't know if I'll be right or not, but my prediction is the minute that the IRS gets a phone call from somebody who has the power to subpoena the tax records from the IRS rather than from Trump, it's over. That's when he walks out.
And he's a martyr. And he becomes a martyr.
And he becomes a Fox News martyr.
And these 63 million idiots who voted for him will become 63 million angry, armed insurgents who have seen their heroes martyred.
That's why everyone is treading really carefully, I think, is they don't want a civil war.
Yeah, it's time to stop treading carefully.
Well, I know you say that, but I don't want a shooting war around my kids.
No, I mean, I don't want that either, but it's time to stop pretending that not talking about these people as they are will stop anything.
It's also time to recognize that it is 31% of the population.
It is. A third of this country.
It's a third of this country, and stop talking about how we are concentrated at the coasts and then the cities. They are concentrated in the rural areas. They're the ones who are concentrated. And they are surrounded.
They're surrounded.
And they are outnumbered by a lot. And
so now, Bob Mueller is on the case.
Yeah.
So,
and everyone on Fox, though, is talking about what a great guy he is. There's nobody on Fox that is tarnishing his reputation in any way. I have not seen one person.
There's no one running the show. So there's no Roger Ailes to give them, you know, tell them what to think.
Yep.
So they're sort of floundering around trying to straddle, you know, they're turning into Matthew Dowd. They're trying to straddle fences as much as possible because they're not sure which way things are going to come down.
Right.
But Bob Mueller has been put in charge of the witch hunt, which is great.
The witch hunt.
which happened 2 days ago. The thing that that we all must remember is to hydrate, sleep.
Yeah.
kiss our loved ones, hug our children, and remember to pace ourselves.
Yeah.
Because the last 7 to 10 days has just been a year. It really has been. I've heard a number of people say, you know, that thing that you said about binge watching Watergate.
Yeah,
that's exactly what this is.
Yep. We are binge watching Watergate, and you can only get 1 hour's worth of show in an hour. That's all you can do. You can't watch 20 episodes in an hour. It doesn't happen that way. So let
me skip through a few things and we'll just
let's go through some things.
And this happened this week. Just this week. Flynn stopped a military plan that Turkey that didn't.
This was revealed this week.
Right. $500,000. He was paid as a lobbyist. Flynn, we now know told the Trump team, and we're talking to you, Mike Pence, that he was under investigation.
Team. Yep, the transition team.
And secretly working as a paid lobbyist for Turkey, and they didn't care. They didn't fucking care because you know what? As president, I get to do anything I want, just like the Kenyan usurper. So let's get Mike Flynn in here because I like the cut of his jib. And he says, lock her up really loud. And I like that in him. And the problem is President Stupid, because he believes this and because he's a very, very, very stupid man and clearly is mentally unbalanced, keeps changing his why I fired Flynn lies back and forth. It's not that he goes from one to the other. He goes to one, the other, then back to the first one. And then maybe the second one. No, it was the memo. No, I decided. And it's for the morons who think he's their savior. This is completely normal. because they're used to lying to themselves five times a day just to make it through the day. So this doesn't bother them. For everyone else in the universe, it's terrifying.
And absolutely. You know, and I want to add one thing to that, which is Representative Cummings.
Yeah.
Produced a letter he wrote to Mike Pence at the Presidential Transition Office about Lieutenant General Flynn. It dated November 18th. So receipts, yeah, we got them.
Keep your receipts,
people. We got them right here.
They got them.
Also, you need to know something else that just broke. I know we the thing that broke right before we started recording was that Trump said told the Russians
blab,
you know, crazy, you know, the whack job. Yeah, he called it the FBI nut job.
Don't worry, everything's cool. I got rid of the nut job. Investigation over.
The AP is reporting that Trump's tax attorneys did not want him to sign the financial disclosure form that he signed. Yeah.
Ruh-roh. And they're also reporting that there is someone inside the White House currently working there who is a person of interest in the investigation.
Yep.
All of this is happening now. So, you know, 10 years from now, when I look back on this and I read and I go through this, I'll go, holy shit, this was a long ass year. No, this is just a week. Apparently, Spicer, Sean Spicy, is going to cope with this by going dark.
Yes.
But getting a cloak of invisibility and just saying, no, we're not going to do televised press briefings anymore, or we're only going to do a few of them. I don't like talking to humans about the crazy person. Yes, I am the press secretary. My entire fucking job is standing at a podium with a microphone in my hand, talking to people on a camera. But there are aspects of that job, like all of it, that I don't want to do anymore. So we're not going to do that. President Stupid this week decided he would go to the Coast Guard because he'd run out of people he could order to applaud him as he talks to bitch about how unfairly he was being treated.
Yep.
And no politician has been treated worse or more unfairly than President Stupid. And as someone said, and that's when Nelson Mandela came back from heaven just long enough to bitch slap that man and then return to heaven.
Whammo.
Just, you know, again, what do you expect? This is a whining, peevish man baby, just like every other fucking Republican you know.
Yeah, so it's every old man watching Fox News that you know. Yep.
And that's really what Fox News is reporting on. In addition to Ted Nugent and the rest of it, they're now going to diners to find, you know, old men who sit around all day scratching their balls and bitching about taxes and Negroes. And sticking microphones into a place. So, what do you think about President Trump?
An old man who said, "No, we need an independent prosecutor."
Oh, we gotta go.
The interview.
Yeah. Oh, I'm being told we don't have enough time. We gotta move on. Yeah, gotta screen these old guys. But I also want to mention this is a portion of our show we like to call "While You Were Sleeping," but you weren't sleeping. You were watching President Stupid and the shiny, crazy things he's doing while he was doing that. Betsy DeVos, who he appointed to destroy education in America, because if everybody's as stupid as Donald Trump is, no one will notice how stupid Donald Trump is. See, there's a strategy behind it. Proposed the following in one shot: cutting funding for college work study programs in half, terminating public service loan forgiveness, cutting hundreds of millions of dollars that public schools use for mental health and other services, and overall cutting the education initiative budget by about $10.5 billion. Because obviously what this country needs is fewer educated people.
Right. Well, or what they need is a multi-tiered education system where privatized schools will do the job better for a profit than the public institution that we all benefit from, because that's not necessary. It's not necessary that everyone benefit from an educational system.
No, because remember, and this I know I've said many times on this podcast, probably years ago, but this happened in the 80s and 90s. Once it became very clear the only way you're ever going to get your kid into the middle class is with a college education, that's when a college degree, the ability to grant the degree, became a license to print money.
Exactly.
And that's when it became a commodity. And that's when the price started skyrocketing. Oh, really? Because we have all these people there who absolutely have to get their kid through college or they're doomed.
Right.
We can charge whatever we want. And Betty DeVos and people like her don't want their elite caste that run this country, troubled by an angry, educated, well-funded, well-financed, well-thought-out, well-networked middle class.
Right. Right. And so and this license to print money has turned a lot of learning institutions into hedge funds.
Yeah.
It's much more about
Harvard. Harvard.
it's about protecting the endowment and protecting Wall Street rather than educating kids is the product that we sell. But we have the endowment and protect the endowment before we protect the kids. And so I can tell you just from Junior Dude, who's, as you know, is going to Augustana. We're very proud of him. But his application process, the forms that came back are from a company. You get a very standardized the printout is clearly a product. It's a, how can I put this? It's an off-the-shelf product for generating financial aid statements because they all look exactly alike. They're in the same font. They're on a individualized paper from the college.
Well, we used to call it, I was doing this for a living, COTS, which is customized off-the-shelf.
Yep. It's off-the-shelf, and it's exactly each. The loans are in one box. The grants are in another box. The work studies in this box. The parent loans are in this box. And they are standardized. Now, is that good for parents? Sure, because you can hold them up one to another and see, okay, this college is giving you this and this college is giving you that. That's wonderful. But it's a business. This is a mobbed up, I mean, I don't mean that in the literal way. Listen to me, but don't take me literally, just like Donald Trump, right?
But it's a for-profit business.
It's a for-profit business that is selling this to colleges and universities.
Yes, indeed.
And the other thing is, I mean, I'm not going to release these. I'm sorry, I'm going to be just like Donald Trump and not release these financial records of my son. But you see that these colleges clearly know what the deal is in terms of what a kid is going to be offered. They know what their test scores are. They know what their grades are. They know what their parents' finances are because that you just send to one email address, right?
Empty your pockets and that's
you send,
it.
You put your tax return online to the financial aid FAFSA, the financial aid agency.
You have no privacy.
Privacy, right. You just pop it in. And they have been breached, by the way. They were breached last November.
Yeah. Of course they were.
You download your taxes to them. And so they know your finances and they know your kids' grades. And so they know which colleges your kids could get into. And they know how much money the other colleges are going to be offering. So the offers that come in, and Junior Dude applied to Beloit. He applied to Augustana. He applied to St. Olaf. He got into all three.
Yep.
Which is like, you know, I'm very proud of him. But the offers that came in were balanced to within, you know, a few hundred dollars, really.
Yeah.
And yes, that's nice because we could say to Junior Dude, you don't have to think about money in terms of that's a reason why to choose one college over another.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You should choose the college you really want to go to, not because, oh, this one's cheaper, I'm going to go here.
Yeah.
You don't have to make that decision, which is nice. But still, it's a business and there's a reason. They all know this, you know, and they're selling this product knowing what the competition is offering. He got into Carthage too. And same thing. Just, you know, the financial aid came down, and it is. You can choose based not on money, but they're all offering the same thing because they all have endowments and they all charge about the same, and they're selling a ticket to the middle class.
They're selling a seat on a lifeboat.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of misspellings.
Have we said why Junior Dude chose Augustana?
No, I think that was a secret. A terrible, terrible secret.
Proximity to Iowa for the caucuses. He wants to go work for a presidential campaign.
Among other reasons.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he liked the campus and it's a good school and so forth and so on. But the reason he chose it over Beloit and Carthage and St. Olaf is they are across a bridge from it's the Quad Cities, and they are across the bridge from Iowa. So when he went to visit the political science department at Augustana, they said, they asked every student who was in this group, why did you choose Augustana? Why are you going to political science? He said, I want to work for a presidential campaign, and I'm choosing Augustana because I can go across the river and work for a presidential campaign. And everybody just nodded great. You know?
Yeah. Okay, you're in. Okay.
You're fine. In. Yeah. 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 Ooh, so. Ooh.
Here's your key.
Yep.
Come on board.
You belong here. Yeah, you've got a very career-oriented reason for coming here. Yes, absolutely.
And while they have a very sophisticated system for bringing people like that on board, they do have really good outreach, really good other students there who are enthusiastic. It is not a scam, but it is a business.
It is a business, yeah. And it's not a scam if you do have that kind of drive behind it. You know, I think it's a scam for some students. I do think it's a scam. I do think some students are scammed.
Yeah.
I've been scammed.
Oh yeah,
I was scammed by my second master's degree.
Yes,
I got a master's degree at 42. In education, in social studies, middle school social studies, history, and
marry the smart ones, guys. Marry the smart ones. Trust me.
And you know, worked really hard. Everybody told me you belong in the classroom. You're awesome. You do an amazing job teaching. You have the maturity and the parenting skills and the subject knowledge to be a great teacher. And I go to my first job fair, and the woman from the Alabama State Education Association says to me, those jobs go to coaches.
Boom, period, done.
I had two kids in diapers at that time. I was not going to be every weeknight coaching girls volleyball. That was not going to happen. Huh? And they lost a woman who could teach history out the wazoo at every level, from borderline mentally retarded to genius.
Yep.
And get it through to the kids' heads with a great deal of enthusiasm. I mean, I had kids talking about my class at lunch.
Yeah.
That's the kind of enthusiasm I generated. But those jobs go to coaches.
And so, everyone urged you to go into it while you were paying for it. Nobody mentioned, this little secret thing where
you're never going to give up your life. You're going to have, if you're willing to give up every weeknight of your life and ignore your kids, you can have the job.
Yeah.
And for no pay, for no extra pay, you can have a job. That's the cost. And that's why, you look at teachers in Alabama and they're all pre-married. They're 23, and when they get married, they quit.
Right.
And that is really what happens in elementary and early education.
I would like to move us from overqualified person who didn't get a job to a wildly unqualified person who did get a job.
I'm trying to think who you meant.
And that person is unhinged sadist with a badge, Sheriff Dave Clark. Not the good Dave Clark. No, the bad David Clark. The one who calls Black Lives Matter black slime, the one who lets people die in his jail. You know, the clenched fist, cowboy hat wearing, 5-foot-nothing, angry, pissed off black guy you see.
But he is qualified because he's on Fox News every day.
Right. He's their cop. He's their designated black cop who will tell them the lies they want to hear. That's why he's there. He's there because the color of his skin matches what they want to believe about themselves. And the content of his vocabulary matches what every racist wants to hear. Mm-hmm. He's the perfect stooge for Fox. And now he has a job at the Department of Homeland Security. He's the head of the Office of, I believe they misspelled this. It says Office of Partnership and Programs, but obviously it's the Office of Partisanship and Pogroms.
Yeah.
So once again, a wholly unqualified right-wing lunatic, absolute fucking bounce-off-the-wall, hateful lunatic, has a job with real power inside the Department of Homeland Security because President Stupid put him there.
And does he require any congressional oversight to get that job?
I don't think so, because he's not the head of the department. I don't know that he does. Yeah. I don't know if it's an approval position. But, thus far, the Republican Congress has been more than willing to put in virtually any unqualified lunatic that comes out of
it. Absolutely. Betsy DeVos is in there. That's the bar. Yeah.
Sure. Ben Carson's in there.
Yeah.
Rick Perry's in there.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of unqualified, and it's all thanks to Roger Ailes.
This
is all, these are all his bastard children. He must be so happy and burning in hell now, running around molesting ladies in hell, that his good works go on without him. But you know who's leaving government?
No.
Spent more time with his lawyers. Jason Chaffetz.
Jason Chaffetz. This is my favorite story of the week.
Why don't you run with this, Blue Gal?
Well, I wrote this up. He was on Tucker Carlson. you and I love how you switch. You do it really well, too. You have this remote thing going on.
I do.
Which you're just really good at Let's peek in at Fox. Okay, we peeked in at Fox. We peeked in at Fox. No one's going to peek out of Fox.
Well, it's like sampling an iron with your finger. It's on.
It's hot enough. Yep. But you have it down. Like, we're going to look at what Fox is doing. Oh, we got just enough. And you turned it on just at the point where Jason Chaffetz was saying, you know, I'm worried that the Democrats are going to politicize this whole Russia thing.
Oh, I have some breaking news, Blue Gal.
Oh, no.
No, just who is on MSNBC right now talking about Trump Russia with Ari Melber? Who's the qualified person you know? Yes, it's Mark.
Hugh Hewitt.
It's Mark McKinnon.
Oh, is he wearing a scarf?
No, he apparently is so exciting.
He left his scarf at home?
He left his scarf and giant cowboy hat at home. I just wanted to let you know that your liberal TV has really stepped up and brought in
Mark McKinnon.
Mark McKinnon to talk probably about how both sides are to blame for everything.
Both sides.
But let's get back to Jason Chaffetz and why he's I want to bring that up. That's happening right now.
Oh, man. So, yeah, Jason Chaffetz, who the very next day announced that June 30th is his last day in the Congress, and that stops all of the ethics investigations about him using an email server that he wasn't supposed to use.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp.
Yeah.
And the amazing thing to me is, it's not amazing, it's just amusing at this point to watch on Twitter people really just repeat the Steve Ducey talking points.
They literally do.
The Steve Ducey talking point this week, when the Comey memos came out, the idea that Comey had written a memo about his meetings with Trump, and how Steve Ducey's line was, well, why can't we see all the memos? Why can't we see the memos from the Obama administration?
Uh-huh.
And I went on Twitter, and that was just like going on these Fox News, because you've got to look at the Fox News tweets too. Sure. Yeah, why aren't we looking at all the Obama memos? And it is. Because they can't defend Trump, the way conservatives are dealing with this and the way Fox News is dealing with this is whataboutism. What about Hillary? What about Obama?
Right.
What about, you know, and on and on and on. And so there is this, why can't we see all these memos? And I went on and I just said, Jason Chaffetz has all those memos.
He does.
That's why. He has subpoena power to get all of those memos today.
He can do it
if
today.
He wants them. He can get them today. Mm-hmm. And if you think after $7 million of taxpayer money, he doesn't have them yet, he's a failure at investigating anything if he doesn't have them now.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get any likes, any responses, any retweets, anything from that comment thread. It was
I'll retweet you.
We don't want to talk about this.
I'll retweet you if you're feeling lonely.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Well, and Chaffetz. So Chaffetz has decided the government has all the oversight it needs.
Yeah. Right.
And apparently he believes that they don't have postal delivery in Utah because the subpoenas will never reach him there.
Yeah.
I think they will. I think we'll be hearing from J.C. Chaffee again. I think it will be under oath.
Yep.
And I think he will be sweating profusely.
I think they'll be happy to have him under oath before June 30th, too. Yeah. I have a feeling that whether that's made public or not, I don't know. Yeah. But it's pretty obvious that Donald Trump did attempt to obstruct the Russian investigation. And Jason Chaffetz was just Mr. Shake and Bake. And I helped.
So. And it's pretty obvious that not only did he attempt to obstruct it, he walked around with his arms on his hands on his hips bragging about it. I fired that son of a bitch. Let's all laugh it up because I fired the son of a bitch. They put me in charge of the police. You know what I did? I fired the cops. I'm a genius. And at that point, you realize, he's insane.
Yeah.
He really doesn't understand anything about anything other than how to rip people off in shitty New York real estate deals and how to work the bankruptcy system to make sure his kids have money. That's it. That's all he knows how to do.
And he knows how to whine about being treated unfairly more than any other president in history.
Really? But you know what? So, I got to listen to
any other politician in history. Excuse me.
Any other human in history.
Yeah. And, I just wanted to say about Jason Chaffetz and the whole politicizing thing. You know, the Democrats might politicize it. Hillary Clinton and the head of Planned Parenthood are really worried about him.
Yeah. And I got to say, just as a brief aside, the happiest man in America, I believe, at this moment is a guy named John Boehner.
Yeah.
He's just rolling his riding mower up and down his lawn.
Does he have a cup holder for his rusty nail?
He's got a cup holder. He's got a carton of Pall Malls in the back. He's listening to, I don't know, Rush or, I don't know, Soundgarden. You know, maybe that's
No, I don't think so.
No, he's listening to some pop tunes from the 50s, and he's just having the fucking time of his life. Yeah. And every time he gets a phone call on his little cell phone that has any Washington prefix, it's like, Sorry, fuck you.
Ignore.
Not my problem anymore.
Ignore.
Got another 2 acres to, I got another bottle to kill.
Yeah.
Now you and I have been sort of all over this story, but I have to step back and urge you to listen to the wisdom of Paul Ryan, who's telling people, don't rush to judgment. Whatever you do, and he has no power over anything, apparently. Paul Ryan says, look, I only get involved in things I get involved with. The tautology market in Washington has just exploded. The president said what he said and did what he did, and that's what he said because he said it. So Paul Ryan, first of all, saying about all the crazy shit that's going on, well, you know, I don't get involved in things I have no control over. You're the Speaker of the fucking House.
You
appoint the head of every fucking committee. You have the power to subpoena everything. But suddenly, I'm just a powerless little street waif with pretty blue eyes and pecs. And all I want to do is cut taxes for rich people. Why can't I just fucking cut taxes for rich people and get on with my life?
Well, apparently that is the only thing that matters.
It is.
Stock market lost a ton of money yesterday on the thought, even the inkling that all of this Trump-Russia stuff might interrupt the pursuit of corporate tax cuts.
Yes.
And today, the Koch brothers, as they were specifically called on... outnumbered on Fox News, a white knight for Donald Trump, not making that up, they have decided to invest $400,000 in advertising to get that tax cut through by the fall.
I've seen those ads, by the way.
Yeah.
They're on our television all the time. They're on, you know, that $1 trillion in job growing tax cuts, and we're going to save health care. And a bunch of really happy stock photo people living in a universe that I've never seen before. just all thrilled as shit that they're going to have $1 trillion in tax cuts gutted from their healthcare system, but somehow they'll be able to get in and see the doctor of their dreams who will take an infinite amount of time with their children, which is just great. And again, if you're stupid enough to believe that, you are a Republican. As Paul Ryan decided to issue the memo about, okay, how the hell do we tap the brakes on this? Let's not rush to judgment, says the guy who impaneled how many fucking Benghazi hearings?
Right.
And right on cue, literally right after him, apparently the memo went out right away because Hugh Hewitt popped up on MSNBC to say, hey, people, let's not rush to judgment. Let's not jump to conclusions, okay? Remember, first of all, Hugh Hewitt is a cyborg sent from the future to destroy America. Everyone knows this now, right? This is just common knowledge. And MSNBC is run by a shitty human being named Andy Lack and Phil Griffin, who want to destroy the last bastion of liberal programming anywhere on earth just in time for the conservative movement to collapse on its own weight. So it's just dumb. They're very stupid people. But among other skill sets that Hugh Hewitt has is he was James O'Keefe's hype man. Remember James O'Keefe?
Yeah.
Sack of shit, James O'Keefe. I'm sorry.
Project Veritas.
Project Veritas. Before he got a job sucking Donald Trump's left nut, Hugh Hewitt was busy on MSNBC basically telling everyone that Hillary Clinton was going to go to jail, that she was screwed.
You had to go watch the new Project Veritas video.
James O'Keefe, Project Veritas. James O'Keefe.
He was on MSNBC suggesting that. And boy, did Joanne Reed have a face for him.
Again, you're contract. I believe, by inference, I can say this. I don't know directly, but you're contractually obligated, if you work for MSNBC, not to stab fellow people in the face with a pencil.
Right, you're not allowed to go over and punch him in the nose. No.
But they sat there, jaws on the ground.
Her voice and her face and Chris Hayes as well, both of them.
Wait, what?
Are you kidding me?
Are you fucking kidding me? And even Michael
and
Steele.
And really broke the fourth wall on that one. I mean, they really did just look at him like, oh, no, you're not going
to. And even Michael Steele, who's used to eating a lot of shit for the Republican Party,
yes, he is.
Was like, okay, I'm full. I can't eat another bite. But really, Hugh Hewitt was sitting there just malfunctioning like a malfunctioning Android. James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, Hillary's going to go to jail, foreign corrupt practices. All he did for years was jump to conclusions and rush to judgment based on.
And now
shit.
We're not supposed to do
now,
that.
Now everybody calm the fuck. Now I realize that that's just an old trick now. You know, look what you did last week and now you're doing it this week. This, again, is why liberals are not allowed on television, because we would ask embarrassing questions like this.
Yeah, we would remember the past.
Shame on us.
All right, we are down to the wire here.
Okay, I want to mention a couple more things.
Yeah.
Newt Gingrich, who, again, the infinite wisdom of Newt Gingrich, suggested that Donald Trump should shut down the White House press room because the media is a corrupt institution. The media also gives him a tongue bath every fucking Sunday. So, you know,
yes, whatever. They do.
Our new Vatican ambassador's adulterous husband is telling...
That happened this week, too, by the way. Hat tip 10 grain, blowjob queen, wife number 3 is going to be ambassador to the Vatican. Yeah. Because why not?
Why not? You know, hey, Pope, you want to... Something about dirty pictures of my wife. Would you like to buy some?
No.
But let's just insert your... Which is basically the Donald Trump joke. Hey, Russia, you want to know some dirty secrets about our intel? Want to buy some? Anyway... Go write your own joke based on the materials I've just noted crackpot Steve Miller. You remember Steve Miller? Stephen Miller? Short hair, yeah. Nazi eyes, crazy as shit, works for the Trump administration, hates
No one can question this president under any circumstances.
You're all paying. You're all going to pay and burn in hell. He's apparently in charge of writing some of Trump's speeches for his foreign trip, where he'll go and insult everyone in NATO and then go piss off everyone in Israel, except for, you know, Netanyahu and probably...
Is Trump going to take off his shoe and beat the desk and say, we will beat you?
I don't know. I really don't know. Remember 2 weeks ago, this is just a reminder, 2 weeks ago, it was only 2 weeks ago, the GOP House having a beer bust.
Yeah, over taking away health care from 24 million people.
And
yeah.
Even as we speak, very quietly, Senate Republicans are working on that behind the scenes. So don't.
They still are.
Don't let the shiny objects go away.
And I finally changed my Twitter header this week. Mm-hmm. I've had Jack Kennedy and Jackie sitting there watching Donald Trump on a television for a long time. And I changed it to I actually took the picture off of Donald Trump's Twitter page of him in the Oval Office surrounded by Republican congressmen, surrounded by over 100 Republican congressmen, all of them with their thumbs up in the air. And the caption is, all of these people are complicit.
Yep.
No life, but burn the lifeboats, watch the exits. There will be no Tea Party, no center-right, you know, program of recovery for these folks.
No, not this time.
They're done.
No,
yeah, we have. I've saved the picture. Your picture's in here. That's you with Trump with your thumbs up. You're going down. We're done. And it's not because of Trump Russia, because I don't think any of those Congress people, most of them knew what was going on. Jason Chaffetz probably did.
Yeah.
But it's because you had to give him a win. Your leadership told you, give this guy a win on May 4th. You have to do it. We'll fix it. We'll fix it in the Senate.
Right.
And I've had people on Twitter say that to me. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we'll fix it once they find out that I actually pay a premium for my children's health care. Then they're willing to talk to me and they know I'm white because my picture's on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're willing to talk to me. Well, it's OK, because we're going to fix it.
Don't worry about it.
We're going to fix it in the Senate.
Yeah.
And those people won't get health care. I mean, literally, that's what's going on. That's how hateful and racist these people are.
No, we're going to fix it in the Senate. And we're going to
fix
it
in the Senate.
And that's what's going to happen next.
No. And this is not, I'm sorry to keep going back to this,
please.
But I'm telling you, this is why they're going to lose the House in 2018. It's not because of Trump Russia. Nobody cares. This is about health care and it's personal and we hate it and we're not going to let it happen. And they're going to go down. So we're done.
Hey, speaking of Trump Russia, can I just mention one thing? The lawyers who said Trump had no ties to Russia were named the Russian Law Firm of the Year in 2016.
Yes.
That is not a joke. That's not even a dumb joke. That's an actual fact you can look up out there in the world. And finally, I want you to say this with me. What would the week be like without, say it with me now, torch-wielding Nazis?
Yeah. No, but you forgot the one word, though. Tiki torch.
Yeah, tiki torch wielding.
Fascists.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nazis. Yeah.
They're so precious.
They bought out Bed Bath & Beyond.
Did.
To go over and buy tiki torches with the citronella oil in it. You know.
Mosquitoes. So you know, when you have a skinhead, you often run into problems of mosquito bites on your scalp. But a nice citronella torch as you go out and protect your quitter, Confederate, traitorous legacy, protects you and your delicate skin, because these are very delicate people, and lets the people know that you can get a mob of 100-something people out on a school night who really are the core of the Republican Party, the core of conservatism. Stupid, angry, blood and soil Nazis. That's who Roger Ailes bequeathed to this country.
Yep. But you know what you should do when you see that Confederate statue hanging from a crane? You should start singing Strange Fruit.
You should.
Because it's just another lynching. That's all it is.
All it
we're,
is
just lynching, we're just lynching the Confederates this time.
That's right.
And we're only lynching, we aren't lynching human beings. We're just lynching a statue that went up in 1965 to say F you to Martin Luther King.
Oh, by the way.
That's all it was.
By the way, I got this flag thing wrong last time, right in spirit, wrong in fact. So the Confederate flag was worked into the Georgia flag in the 50s, not in the 60s, but it was as a response to Northerners telling us how to run our business.
Right.
But
right.
The Confederate flag was worked into as a theme into many other Southern flags. Between 1900 and 1920, because that's who these assholes are.
Yep.
The only flag I want to see flying above the Confederacy is a white one.
And that's the one that flew finally, didn't it?
Yes, yeah. It did.
Yeah.
And one programming note, shall we let people know?
Yeah, this is the end of our show. Here's a programming note. Go ahead.
We will all, in all likelihood, be on the Bob Seska program this coming Tuesday.
So we're expecting something to... you know, break at, between now and then. We don't know what.
Oh, no. But... something between now and 5 minutes from now when we sign off. You kidding me? No.
Yeah.
Okay.
All righty.
Each week.
Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an Internet Kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's Internet Kitty is not a kitty. We finally broken the kitty streak.
Yeah.
And this week we are honoring Sophie the Love Dog.
Yeah.
Sophie belongs to Nicole Bell of Crooks and Liars, and she has been after me for a long time to not be discriminatory against people who are allergic to cats.
Mm-hmm.
So, Nicole, this is for you. Sophie the Love Dog is on our website and Facebook page. Nicole says it was actually really hard to find a picture of Sophie alone because there is not a moment when she doesn't want to be with her people.
Yeah.
She is a lab pit mix that was rescued 11 years ago. And believe me, she will never, ever realize that she is not a puppy.
Ah.
You can send your internet kitty, and I guess we're now opening it to other animals.
Oh,
hey,
okay.
You know,
yeah.
I guess that door's open now.
Sell us. Sell us on the idea.
Sell us on the idea. Send it to our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, or you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go, Postal Unions! Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. And don't forget our Amazon link at our website. We believe in buying local, and we also believe in shopping Amazon with our link if your alternative is a big box store. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution. You can too. See our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, for details. Both our PayPal and postal address information is there at professionalleft.blogspot.com. Please share our show on Facebook or Twitter, and thank you for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Oh, the Internet Kitties aren't speaking to us at all because a dog, really? You put a dog on this show?
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Let's think about loving.
Think about loving.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2017, Driftglass Blue Gal Podcast.